And so that ultimately is what our hope is. When you think of the election, think like, all right, this is a four-year term for somebody, but the eternal term is going to be for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim, two pastors discussing practical details about life, leadership, parenting, and being more centered around Jesus first. The goal of this show is to help you keep your eyes on Jesus through the busyness of life and clutter of your schedules. Now, join us for the conversation.
Hey, welcome to the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim. We're so grateful that you've taken time out of your day to listen to two guys talk that just love you and just want to get to know you and just want to talk about a topic. And today's topic is, well, it's pretty exciting, and it's certainly
it's a doozy.
Something that you're going to hear more and more about. We want to talk to you about, well, the upcoming election. We want to talk to you about
what?
How it seems like here we go again. Like, here we go. We're going to have another year of absolute craziness. Part of me is wondering if this is just the new norm, and like, now this is going to be the deal regardless of the candidates. Like, now everybody's just going to be nuts. But I think it's important as Christians to start preparing our hearts and our minds for what's coming so that we're not reactive in the moment. And we recognize, like, okay, we're Christians. What, like, what is our duty here? How do we respond to certain things? Because a lot of stuff we learned 4 years ago, a lot of stuff gets brought up, a lot of stuff gets voiced on social media, and a lot of fighting happens, and a lot of hate, it gets exchanged, and the comment section is, well, ugly. It's really tough. So, Tim, here we go again. How do we think about this upcoming election in 2024?
Yeah, I was telling you before we hit record is that I think a lot of Christians and a lot of people in general have low-grade PTSD coming out of 2020. And if we think back to that year, you know, you start thinking, oh my gosh, yeah, the pandemic and the riots and the politics and the January 6th and all these insane things happened. And we just kind of moved on. And we're like, all right, we're past that. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to move past it. I don't have to, you know, go back there. But here we go again, right? Here we go. Possibly Trump, Biden, for all we know, that's going to be the two candidates again.
Could you imagine?
And you're going to have just an insane amount of people taking sides, drawing the lines, demonizing the other side. And so we have to mentally prepare ourselves now for maybe very similar things, maybe something even crazier, maybe something not as crazy. We don't know. But we do know that, you know, if we just waltz into this next year, this next election season with not being prepared to keep our eyes on Jesus, with putting all of our cards on one candidate, with setting our faith on one candidate, where, you know, if November 5th or 6th happens and your candidate doesn't get in, does that destroy you? Does that destroy your faith? Do you go insane? Do you, without really thinking through this and praying through this and understanding that our faith ultimately is in Jesus, and we need to make sure that we move through this election season with grace and truth, and we'll talk about some things we can do. But at the same time, that's why we wanted to get this episode out here now, is because we're going to start seeing a lot more ads, a lot more commercials. We're going to see a lot more news articles about certain candidates and certain things happening. And I mean, parties go crazy sometimes trying to just make sure their candidate gets in, that they'll do anything and say anything. And a lot of it is just a little bit of truth mixed into a lot of lies. And that's our politics.
Yeah,
that's what we have to deal with right now. And so it's not going to go away. You can't just stick your head in the sand. You can't just say, well, I don't want to deal with this. It's going to be at your front door. It's going to be something that we have to deal with one way or another. You don't have to engage fully into it. You don't have to get lost in the insanity of it. But you're going to have questions if you're a ministry leader, if you are a parent, if you are involved and have any influence at all, people are going to want to know your opinion. People are going to try to engage you. They're going to try to bait you in the comments. They're trying to get you to say your side of what you believe so that they can then demonize you. And we have to be very careful we don't play those games. So the first one we can do this year, and this isn't about talking about candidates. We want to be clear. This is about talking about the election year in general and about you as a Christian listening of what you can do. And the first thing we can do is to focus on what you can control, not on what you can't. And in a year like 2020, we all felt out of control. I can't control this pandemic. I can't control these riots. I can't control all these things I see in the news. I feel out of control. And when you feel out of control, you start to do extreme things to get control. Well, maybe then I can control my spouse. Maybe I can control my children. Maybe I can control people at my job through angry means, right? In not showing grace and truth, because I just need to feel control. And so I'm going to try to get control however I can. And that's what happens when the world seems to be falling apart. When we hear of wars going on, we start to have fear rise up. We start to say like, all right, things are out of control. I need to be in control. And so I'm going to do that through means that aren't helpful to me or those around me. But what we need to focus on is the things we can control. I can control how I react to these things. I can control how I parent. I can control how I am at work. I can control who I talk to about Jesus and what my role is in the church. Like, these are things you can still control along with many others during this time when things might seem out of control.
Yeah, the word control is so good, because if you're trying to control someone else, that's not the right approach. Period. There's not a single person on this earth that it's your job to control them. Not one person. So that means if someone says something and you're like, no, I've got to prove my point. I have to say this because they need to know. Nope, they don't need to know anything. You don't have that kind of control. You're not in charge of that. That's not your role. That's not on your resume. And the reason we're doing this episode now and the reason you're listening to this now is because you need to start setting up now how you're going to respond later so that you're not out of control. So you need to go ahead and decide, like you said, what are the things that you can control? Well, I can control what I say. I can control what I feel. I can control how I parent. I can control how I'm a husband or I'm a wife. I can control what my involvement is in the community and at my church. Okay, how are you going to respond? Like, go ahead and figure it out. When this person does this, when I see this on Facebook, when I see this on TikTok, when I see that, when someone brings this up in public, go ahead and decide before the emotion hits, before all the opinions rise up in you, before that little voice goes, you're right, he's wrong, you're right, they're wrong. Like, before all that happens, go ahead and decide how you're going to respond. And that's what you need to start working on now. Cause I'm telling you, you thought 2020 was tough. Like, 2020, it was like, what are we going to do with this, the COVID situation, vaccines, non-vaccines, mask, not mask. And then you had on top of that, Trump, Biden. We now still kind of have a little bit of that. Like, there's still some mask, no mask sometimes. There's still some vaccine, non-vaccine sometimes. Now on top of that, we're going to throw in, should Trump be in prison? Should he not be in prison? Should Joe Biden be in some kind of, you know, adult home, or should he not be in an adult home? Right. And hello, there's a war. We're at war. We're in war now. Like, should we be involved? Should we not be involved? Should we be helping in Ukraine? Should we be helping this whole thing going on in Israel? Like, now that's going to be in there. And who knows, like, what happens between now and when the voting starts? Like, I'm telling you, it's going to be 2020 on steroids. And you've got to start deciding how you're going to respond now.
Yeah, you have to. And with that comes fear when you start seeing wars. And that's our second point, is to guard against fear, turn off the news or limit it completely. I mean, Jesus warned his disciples in Mark 13:22, is that he said, I'm warning you ahead of time so that you would not fear and be on guard. And so if we know that wars and rumors of wars are coming and pestilence and all these things that are warned about, will be here and we'll hear of them or be involved in them directly. Jesus told his disciples so they would not fear. And we're told these things in the Bible so that we would not fear and be on guard. Yeah. So when we see these things coming, we can see it for what it is, instead of like, oh my gosh, I'm just filled with fear now. It's like, okay, this is just a sign of the times. Jesus is in control and we need to make sure that we're not giving into fear. And I saw this in 2020, is that my entire feed on Facebook was filled with news sites constantly. Like, it was just like, it was, I remember at a point where it was just constant every single time.
It's nauseating.
News site would come on. It's not just reporting the news. It was fear-based. It was all fear-based. Right. Yep. And I had to unfollow those sites. I rarely look at the news now, except maybe in the morning to make sure the world's not blown up. And so I would just encourage you to see, you know, if you are on social media, if you're watching the news, if you're watching anything, I mean, even if you're watching like a crime series on TV, if it's bringing fear into your life, if you are more anxious and more fearful after having watched it, that's a sign that you probably need to disconnect from it. And so that's why you have to just analyze, okay, why am I feeling this tension right now? Why am I feeling this fear? What is happening? Oh yeah. You walk it back. All right. I just thought about this. I just saw this. Okay. Now I know what's triggering that and I can eliminate that from my life next time, or just be more aware of it. So that when you do see a news site, you can detach from it. You can focus on God. You can pray. You can kind of move forward instead of just letting that consume you. I just talked to a guy that is not a Christian, and he called into the church. I talked to him for like an hour. And he just kept talking about, oh, you know, the war's going on and I just don't know what to do because we've never had a war like this before and it's going to destroy us all. And like, he went down this whole path of not having any peace in Jesus, first of all, and then being, so if you don't have Jesus, I mean, seeing this kind of stuff is going to really cause you to go for a loop because you're living for yourself and you're living for tomorrow. You're not living for Christ. So those of us that are living for Christ definitely need to keep that in check, knowing that God's ultimately in control, and that fear, the spirit of fear, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. Like, that's what we have to claim every day. We have to allow the Spirit, Holy Spirit, to eliminate any other spirits in our life that are causing us distraction.
Yeah. And a lot of it generates from social media, like you said, just your feed, and whether, you know, no matter what platform you're on, the more time that you spend on a platform, I mean, there's, go look at statistics, like the more time you spend on any platform, the higher your stress and anxiety rate rises. So I know it's called a feed, but I've never gotten off it and felt full, you know? And so we've got to make sure that we're really taking account of how we're spending our time. And I'll be honest with you, like, I'm really proud of my wife and the way that she handles this. She doesn't spend a lot of time on social media, and I'll be like, did you hear that this happened? And she's like, nope, can't say that I did. And I'm like, well, it did. And she's like, okay,
let me show you.
You know, like, yeah, I'm like, watch this. Let me show you. And so she's really chill. Right. She keeps it real chill. And I'm glad that she definitely can do that better than I am. The other thing that's, you got to be careful at this time is, especially if you go down different rabbit holes and rabbit trails here on like TikTok, like you'll start thinking that everything that's happening in this upcoming election is part of like a Bible prophecy. and that all of us, the world's gonna end because Joe Biden is the Antichrist. And it's like, okay, can we
look at the Hebrew gematria of his name? It spells out 666. If you add in his middle name and then his mother's maiden name, you're gonna see that it's 664, but then you have to add two more because he's 2 years in position. Like, it's just stupid.
I found this photo of Trump drinking a Monster Energy drink, and the Monster Energy symbol is 666. It's the mark of the beast. It's like, all right, people, we listen. Okay.
If you take five of Trump's ex-girlfriends and put their names together, you get to see. It's like, this is my favorite one, honestly. Don't listen to prophecies about the election, because that was such a big part, is that Trump is the chosen one. He's going to get in. Yeah. It was overwhelming. Yep. Of all the quote prophets out there to say that he was getting in a second term. And it was disheartening in a lot of levels, because it's like, well, you didn't hear from God. Like, what are you spewing? What are you saying? And I know it's going to come up again, because a lot of those same people are going to be like, I said he'd have a second term. I didn't say when. I just got the timing off.
Totally. They'll be there.
And then
they'll absolutely be there.
They will absolutely do that. And so don't listen to them. Don't listen to prophecies, because many people will try to get a platform based on the election year and see like, see, I told you. And here's the thing. Yep. You have a 50-50 chance of being right. Yep. And so if you put it out ahead of time and you get to claim that later, I guess good for you and the followers you might get, but that's not actually prophecy. There are legitimate people that learn from 2020. You know, Jeremiah Johnson is a good person to study. You know, his whole ministry was shut down after he got prophecy on the election wrong, and he shut it down. He went on like a sabbatical for months to really analyze. Hey, and he said later he was caught up in witchcraft. He was caught up in feeling like he had to say something because everyone else was doing it, that it wasn't actually from God. And that's the danger in this. And I appreciate that. Like, I believe in prophecy. I believe that the prophetic gift is real for today, but I also greatly appreciate when people can humble themselves and say, hey, I got this wrong, because we're called to test prophecy and test all things against scripture and hold fast to that, which is true. And so if people are still holding on to the fact that, oh no, I wasn't wrong, I just got the timing off, or if they start coming out again with these fanciful predictions and looking at the Hebrew, like we joked about, then that's a warning sign, because we don't put our faith in prophecy, we put our faith in Jesus. And so regardless of what happens with the results, we know that he's in control.
All right, so this is complete conjecture. This is complete away from the Christian. Like, this has nothing, do not, like, listeners, this is just for fun. I'm just curious. If you did have to say that someone on earth right now was the Antichrist, okay? Like, if you had to say, if I could play this out, this is who I think it would be. Not saying they are, listeners, not saying they are. I'm just saying, if you had to pick someone, who would it be? I have mine, but I want to know if you have yours.
I was not prepared for this.
And they don't have to be in the election. It can be anybody. I'm just curious. Somebody was like, you got to put $50 on somebody. And you were like, all right, I guess I would pick this person. Who would that be? Any ideas?
Oh, man. I grew up in the 90s with constant people doing the,
oh, yeah, everyone.
The number system on their names and saying this person's the Antichrist, right? So I grew up with kind of being jaded from all that. So I don't think so here, if we want to be real, I don't think it's,
let's be real.
I don't think it's really a prediction, but I think, wouldn't it be crazy if Trump was, because think of all, because it says that he's going to deceive even if the very elect, right? And so if Trump was able to deceive Christians that are following him, and then who else would be able to put a statue of themselves up and require people to worship him besides Trump?
Right. Right. That's a, okay. I think that's solid. Not saying he has listeners. Not, this was totally fun. This was totally fun. For me, it would be Elon Musk, because I like him, and he has technology and he has the world, right? Because like he sells Teslas everywhere, and he does SpaceX like he has the, you know, he's so smart. And I like him. Like, I like him. I like him a lot. I'm like, if he was like, I'm running for president, I'm like, he's got my vote. Right. Like, it just makes me, I don't know. He's like so smart, and he's connected into all these different, like, his cars are built in Germany and in China and in Texas and in like all these places. And I don't know. It's just, it's very interesting. But
if this podcast is going to go viral, it's because of this clip right here.
It's because of this clip. Yeah, just put up me going, I think the Antichrist is Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Just clip that and make it the thumbnail, you know, and we'll get more views. Whatever happens. Yeah. No, I love Elon. And so, yeah, basically what we're saying is it's that simple to run down the wrong kind of the wrong kind of road. Yeah. Don't get on TikTok. Don't get on social media and believe all these things. I think it's also important as we discuss this, because it is a two-party system, and that means if you're on one side, somebody's on the other side. I think it's important for us to recognize that we need to be known for what we're for way more than what we're against.
Yeah.
And so our job is not to demonize the other party or the other person, right? Because I know we've both seen a ton of that. It's always like, well, if you're not this, then you're this. And it's always this, you know. It's always easy to talk about what you hate, right? It's always easy to point out what's wrong. What are your thoughts on how we can do a better job of just speaking in a positive manner?
Yeah, there's a clear delineation along a lot of these issues. And like you said, it's not just you're on one party or the other. You're either for this issue or you're against this issue. And these issues are what people talk about. They don't talk about, we don't see the person behind the issue. We just see the issue. And if you don't believe what I believe, we can't even talk about it. I'm just going to demonize you and call you names. And unfortunately, we have political leaders that also do that, just name calling and don't set a good example for people to follow. And I think with the world getting more wicked, we see an extremism on some of these issues as well that I don't remember growing up. You know, there was always two parties, but it was, I saw more like trying to reach across the aisle, if you will, than I see now. And so that, because our political system's that way, it then has turned into the nation being that way as well. And so we have to recognize that for what it is. And it doesn't mean that you can't have a stance on an issue. I think you should. I think you should know what you believe and why you believe it and have an answer for it. But at the same time, if someone does not believe that, if you're going to engage with them, and I say if, because that doesn't mean you always should, if you're going to engage with someone that maybe is a family member or a friend or someone that you have a seat at the table of their life for, that's a big distinction first. If you have all that and then you engage with it, I think you have to understand the person first. You have to understand why they believe that, what their background was in it, what got them to this point, to then be able to engage with it. Because if you just start at the end result and say, oh, you believe this, it's wrong. Okay, well, this person, you know, had an abortion, had something in their life that was traumatic, had these things. Yeah. And so you're able to understand that a little bit and then speak into it and say, you know, God doesn't see that in you. God sees you. He loves you. He sees your heart. I think you would just have so much more of a breakthrough in people, not saying that at the end of the day, they would even change their mind. But I think if you could see people the way God sees them, first of all, or at least a partial part of that, if you could see people the way God sees them, you would understand that, hey, this person, which might be spewing and calling you names, Jesus died for them. You know, Jesus died for them. Jesus loves them. They're like, oh, well, no, they, how could he? Because he does. And the Bible tells us that. And so it's up to us to love them as well, even if they're on the quote wrong side of things.
Yeah. Jesus loves you just in case you love him back, which is incredible to me. Like Jesus died for you just in case you love him. Isn't that wild? Like if somebody says, would you die for your kid? It's like, yeah. Would you die for your wife? Yeah. Well, why? Well, because I love them and they love me. What if I told you, would you die for this random person who like doesn't even know you and doesn't wish to know you and doesn't even really like you? Would you still do it? That's where you really understand the depth of what Jesus went through. Imagine wearing the sins of someone you know that will never love you.
Right.
That's unbelievable. So, yeah, our role is to love first. Why? Well, because that's what God did. That's what Jesus showed us. So what is our first responsibility? To love first. And then everything else requires a conversation. I think it's Carl Lentz. Do you remember Carl Lentz? R.I.P. So Carl Lentz, although I think he got a new job now. Good for him. I think he said in an interview one time, we love first and then everything requires a conversation. As much as I don't like how his story has ended, but I guess it's also not over. As much as I don't like some of that stuff, that's a really good perspective. Yeah, and I think we should hold to that. Like, yeah, our job's to love and then everything requires a conversation because, man, life is so unique for people. And your experiences and your thoughts and the way you look at the world, it's just you. You're the only person who looks at it that way. So it's worth just showing love to someone else and then leading with curiosity and going, hey, let's talk about it.
Yeah. And it's important to remember too, when these accusations fly from the other side of the aisle at you, you have to ask the question, should you defend yourself? And if you do, how will you defend yourself? Because here's the thing is that it might not even be a question of if you should, because Jesus did not even defend himself when he was under trial, right? And so if you start going down the rabbit hole of, I'm going to respond to every single comment of people that have a problem with me, it's a losing battle, because the people that comment in social media sites aren't looking to be swayed. They're looking to sway you.
No.
And so then you both go down the battle of like, oh, they're going to learn. And the other person's like, no, they're going to learn today. And then neither one of you learn. You just end up creating 20, 30, 40 comments that other people can see of you going back and forth and spewing garbage.
And then the next day you'll check in at church and invite everyone to show up with you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's a bad testimony to our witness when people can see our comments and how we don't show the love of Christ on social media. If you need to, hey, if you need to turn off social media for a year during the election season, more power to you.
Yep.
If it's something like, oh, I have to respond to every comment, maybe you need to take a break. Maybe you need to, we talked about trolls one episode. Maybe you need to learn that the block button is your friend too. You know, you don't need to engage. You don't need to defend yourself. If someone is genuinely asking questions, and I can tell this, like I get all kinds of comments and I can tell when someone's genuinely not sure, genuinely wanting to know why I believe what I believe, I'll engage with those people because you know, they're genuinely asking. They're not looking to just push their, you know, agenda. They're not looking to just trap me in a comment. And so I had a comment the other day is like, what makes you the authority on the Bible? And it's like, I'm not, you know, I never said I am the authority in the Bible. And so just comments like that, you're like, I'm not even going to defend that because I've never said that. And I don't pretend to be
right.
And I could name another 20 comments of people saying things that are just crazy that I'm not going to engage with that. And so learn to defend when to defend yourself. And if you even should.
Yeah. And the only, to me, the only thing worth defending is the gospel. Sure. Jesus never defended himself, but he would defend the gospel.
Yeah.
And there are several moments in Acts where the disciples had every reason to defend themselves as they were being persecuted, and they just defended the gospel. Mm-hmm. So if you post something, you know, if you're like me and you post something like, you know, the war in Israel is justified, you know, if you say something like that, which another great clip right there, just take that and throw it out on social media. So if you were to post that and then all these people just come at you, are you more focused on, well, this is what I meant, this is why I said what I said, or are you just like, you know what, I'm leaving that alone because that's all directed towards me. I'm just trying to defend the gospel. So same thing's going to happen in the election. Same thing's going to happen when you, you know, when, if you voice certain opinions on things like you mentioned, like abortion and things like that, people are going to want to come at you and people are going to want to comment and all this. The only thing worth defending is the gospel, in my opinion. So
that's good. I think too, when, you know, you hear the word echo chamber a lot, and a lot of times we surround ourselves with people that look like us and sound like us. And the same thing on social media, you know, if you have a Facebook page of 200, 300 friends, more than likely they know what you stand for and they're not going to push back. It's when you start taking a more of a leadership role in things. Maybe you start posting more in general on social media. Maybe you have a leadership position at church or at your work. It's when you start being in those areas that people are going to see you as a target and start to comment. Now, if you just kind of play it safe and surround yourself by people that look and sound like you, you're not going to get those comments or the need to defend yourself. But there's also something I think good in being around other people that don't look like you, because you're able to see the other side of things. You're able to see, like, if I'm in Arizona, if I were to go to Portland, I'm sure I'd be, you know, culture shock with a lot of things that I see there that I don't see here. But it's also, I think, a good thing to be around that to some degree, to understand how other parts of the world function and how sometimes we just, you know, have it good in areas we're comfortable in. So
it's good.
Next one. Remember, God never loses control depending on who is in power. I think this is just a good statement of God's sovereignty, is that, you know, God isn't worried about who's in power or who's not. God doesn't change. God isn't surprised on how the votes turned out. Like, he's just waiting, watching the TV. Like, I hope that
we are. We're always surprised.
Yeah. We're always surprised.
We're like, what happened while we were asleep? What?
Right. The curve just went crazy. But
that's crazy.
So anyway, God is sovereign. I mean, just think about the leaders throughout history, right? The leaders throughout history that have been dictators, that have been just persecuting people, the good leaders, the bad leaders. All of it is under God's control. It doesn't mean that God ordains sin and wants certain things necessarily, but it's under his purview. It's under his sovereignty, meaning that it doesn't shock him. He uses good despite evil men and women. And so I think if we have that perspective, like, I love Mike Johnson as a new Speaker of the House, and he had his first opening statement was like 30 minutes, and he talked about a lot of cool things. One clip I posted on my Instagram went insanely viral, and talk about comments, just go on there and see hundreds of comments of people, all different types. And so, but what he did say is that every one of us, he's talking to the House, every one of us had been put here by God. And the Bible says that. The Bible says that your leaders, like, pray for your leaders, honor your leaders, but also, like, God appoints them. He puts them in position, right? Even the bad ones.
That's right.
And that's hard for us to understand. Right. Oh, you mean God put Biden in position? I had that comment, you know, it's like, yeah, if you believe in the sovereignty of God, then nothing is shocking to him. And it's just like he doesn't give children cancer, just like he doesn't cause certain things to happen, right? Evil is a byproduct of this world, but God's still sovereign in a world of evil.
That's right.
And the same goes in politics, as God is sovereign in a politic world of evil. God is still sovereign, and he'll use all things for good and for his glory at the end of the day.
It's great. And you already mentioned what another thing we wanted to talk about, which was just, we're supposed to pray for our country. We're supposed to pray for our leaders, not just on election year, but always. This is something we should always be doing. You should be praying for teachers. You should be praying for presidents. You should be praying for pastors. You should be praying for every leader in your area. And this is the most powerful thing that we have, is prayer. I know you think it's your bench press, but it's not.
And I wonder how many more prayers Trump got when he was in office than Biden got when he was in office by Christians. I would love to see the stats. Really, there's no way to quantify that, but I would love to know. God, show me what the stats are.
Yeah. He's got a spreadsheet somewhere.
Yeah.
It's a great point, because that's really good. We don't like to pray. I don't want to say enemies, but we don't like to pray for people that we're not for.
Right.
That's really solid, man. Really solid. So here's a question. With all this going on, man, should I vote? Should I even take the time to vote? Should I even, because you know how it is. I got to get in my car. I got to drive somewhere. Right. I got to vote. I got to, give them my license, or maybe they just let me in. I don't know how they do things these days. I certainly don't know how they do things where you are in Arizona, because I'm very confused. But
got different time zones and everything over here.
It's crazy over there. But should I should I even do the whole thing where I vote and I put the whole sticker on and then post on social media that I voted? Should I even vote?
Yes, you should do your civic duty and vote. You should do your research on what the candidates stand for. You should know that when we say what you can control, your vote, it's one vote out of millions, but it is one vote. It is important that, hey, this is what I can control. I can do my duty.
Yeah.
You should vote. You should do your research. You should know what you're voting for and who you're voting for. And also, if God calls you to the politics world, if God calls you to run for something, if God calls you to be involved in an organization, we need Christians. We need Christians in politics. We need Christians in all aspects of life. And so it's not that we detach from politics as Christians. No, we invest our time and our resources and our God-given ability into that, if God's calling you to that, and then support those that are Christians, that have the values that you have, support them, right? Champion them. Put them in a position where you and your sphere of influence can support them locally, nationally as well.
I agree. My grandfather, my dad's dad, fought in World War II, was on the cleanup crew in Pearl Harbor. You don't want to know what that was like. Fought on a Navy destroyer. If you've seen any submarine movie, the destroyer's a beast. My granddad fought really hard and went through a lot of stuff at age 16. He went into the Navy at 16.
Wow.
And he went through a lot so that I would have the ability to vote. Mm-hmm. And that might not seem, it's just a vote. I get it. And to be honest with you, I kind of don't like the whole thing. It's all gross to me. It's all just kind of icky, the two-party system and the fact that, but I like freedom a lot more than I don't like freedom. And so, with the sacrifice that men and women have made, you should vote. And if you don't know who to vote for, pray about who to vote for. And if you don't know how to pray and don't want to vote, then you need to talk to a good Christian friend of yours and say, who'd you vote for? And just do whatever they do. That's what I would do. But yeah, I definitely think we should vote. And as we're thinking through which candidate, there's got to be that Jesus filter, but you got to keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yep.
Like you really do. If not, it's going to be really simple to get into a fight. It's going to be really simple to get into, well, I like this person more than that person because that person's this is this. That's what this whole, regardless if it's Trump and Biden, or if it ends up being two other candidates that I don't know the name of, regardless of who it's going to be ugly. And it's going to be really easy to fall into that. So we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to look at what they stand for, not just the human being, but their policies. And we have to ask ourselves which policies align more with Christianity. Now, I'll tell you this right now. Neither one of these are Jesus, and neither one of these are going to align fully with the Bible. It doesn't matter if you're red or blue. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them are Jesus, and neither one of them are batting 1,000 and just pulling 100% from the Bible. But I will say, there is very clearly one that's a little closer than the other. And it hasn't always been that way. It's been a difficult thing to navigate, but we've gotten to a really interesting place just in the last 12 years.
Yeah.
Of how much further away from just biblical principles one party is getting. So I think it's going to be interesting, and it's going to put a lot of pressure on leaders of the church to figure out how to lead people in a season of chaos, which we're becoming just like, this is just what we do now. It's you lead people through COVID, chaos. You lead people through war, chaos. You lead people through an economy dip, chaos. This is just, as leaders now, like all these young people that are like, oh, I want to be a leader. I want to do this or I want to do that. Be careful, bro. I'm just telling you, be careful. Leading through chaos, and it's continual chaos. It's not that it's exhausting. Like, there's got to be a different word for it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I would echo what you said is that, you know, don't elevate any man or woman above Jesus, the God man, that he is ultimately the one we worship. And so we have a job to do, and we have things that we need to bide our time, but we are waiting for Jesus to return and be the ultimate ruler of the world forever and ever. He will descend upon the Mount of Olives, and it will split in two, and all nations of the world will see him and realize that there is only one ruler. And so no matter who gets elected to a temporary position on this earth, the eternal position and who is ruling right now in heaven and will rule on earth is Jesus Christ. And so that ultimately is what our hope is. When you think of the election, think like, all right, this is a 4-year term for somebody, but the eternal term is going to be for Jesus Christ. So
it's great. Eternal term. That's great.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining us. Let us know your thoughts on the election. Be kind and nice to us, because I know we said some crazy things, but we care about you. We want your peace to be in Jesus during this election season. And let us know if you haven't thought about this yet, what you think this next year and election season will be, maybe something we missed. And let us know. Eyes on Jesus podcast outlook.com. Email us, comment on our social media. We love to hear from you. And until next time, go with God, grow in discernment, and keep your eyes on Jesus.
Thanks for joining us on the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim. Don't forget to hit subscribe. If this episode blessed you, please share it with a friend. Check out the show notes for more ways to connect with the hosts of the show.